Not the great effort by the Edmonton Oilers by any stretch of the imagination last night against the lowly Los Angeles Kings. Is it getting to the point where Tippett needs to have Koskinen starting more games than Smith?
Yeah, I mean, I would say, I heard you in the last segment, and I would agree that Koskinen's probably been the more consistent goaltender recently. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's important to keep guys both engaged, but tipping it a little bit more Koskinen's way, I think, is probably not a bad idea. I completely agree with what Strudz had to say, though, about them having a plan in managing Koskinen's energy. I think that one of the things Dave Tippett did when he got the job and had a bunch of time before the season got going was he took a real thorough look back at last season and evaluated each player individually. And one of the things that he determined with Mikko Koskinen was that he was just overworked. And not just the obvious number of games, but just you look at his history and understand he's not a goaltender that's going to be able to handle that. So I think they're going to be super cautious about overloading Koskinen. But with that said, I think it's time to start tipping it his way a little bit. I believe they firmly think that Koskinen's best play will be with a real balance between him and his backup and not overloading him. So that I think they're going to be careful with it.
Adam Larson played the lowest of all the D last night, and considering all the penalties, he didn't get a sniff on the PK. Were you surprised how conservative they were in Adam Larson's first game of the year?
Well, am I surprised? No, because Tippett alluded to it. He made mention of the fact that, he was going to have to work him in slowly. I think we need to remember, you guys, that this isn't like, it's not like he got hurt in the middle of November and came back in January, where he had already had 15 or 20 games under his belt. He had one game and a few exhibition games, like half a game and a few exhibition games. Mm-hmm. And, Strud, you can probably attest best to the difference between night one of the regular season and the quality of play and 6 or 8 weeks into the season when guys are fully up to game speed, where the competition is starting to get even more fierce. So I think the fact that he didn't have any games under his belt this year and that he was basically starting from scratch out of a summer of training, I think that's going to cause Tippett to be really cautious with him. And on the other side of that is they've got other defensemen that are playing pretty well that can handle some minutes in those spots. So I think they have the luxury of easing him in. And then when you're down in a game, I just don't think you put on Adam Larson a ton. He doesn't necessarily help you with the generating offense. So to be honest, I'm not surprised. I expected him to ease him in.
So now it's game two, though, right? Do you see it going up a little bit? And how much? Like, I agree with you guys on the penalty kill. That's probably the one area. But, Russell and Klepbom, their penalty kill has been very good. So I could see the coach. I'll be like, well, I don't want to upset the apple cart until I have to.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I mean, they've got some guys that have been doing some really good work. Honestly, I think it'll be a feel on the bench. I think it'll be... it'll be up to Jim Playfair to get a feel for how the guys are going and how Larson's going. It'll be up to Tippett to watch the player. I don't think you hand anything to Adam Larson just because he's Adam Larson. I think you got some other guys that are playing well. And there's a quality of play that you expect. And, you help him get there. I don't think you just chuck him into the deep end and say, well, you've got lots of experience, so figure it out. You're going to play the third most minutes of all our guys. I don't think they have to do that because they've got defensemen that are playing pretty well.
Yeah, it's interesting. When I look at, though, the penalty kill time last night, who was it, Russell and Klefbom, I think, had over 7 minutes of PK time.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Like, that's a lot of PK time. Yep. So I'm just surprised about it. I'm not complaining. It was just something I noticed. Let's talk about...
Do you think there's anything to it, Strud? Yeah. Sorry, just one more thought on this. Do you think there's anything to it that... Adam Larson, when he penalty kills, he's super aggressive and he's a shot-blocking machine. And it was kind of like, get him. You got other guys that can do it. Get him through a game where he's not having to necessarily, sell out and throw himself in front of a bunch of, you're not putting him in the line of fire in that shooting gallery. And maybe you just want to get a game under your belt before you put him in that position to have to step up and block that shot again.
Yeah, no, that's really well said. Shauger, Ryan Rashog joins us, TSN Bureau Chief for Edmonton and indirectly now Calgary, since we're down here, I guess.
Yeah. Shauger, tell Jermaine that he can take the day off tomorrow.
We'll talk. We'll let him know. Shauger, Nygaard, you know, a couple really nice breakaways created purely by his speed. No finish. Are you starting? Are you on the side that that's a glass half full situation or a glass half empty? He's getting the chances, but not maybe tucking them away.
Well, I mean, four shots on net. That means he's around it. I don't have the shot chart, so I don't know if anything was from, you know, anywhere other than 40 feet away. But in 11 and a half minutes of ice time, he puts four shots on net, and he's noticeable, has some scoring chances. I think he's learning how to use his speed to gain an advantage on this size ice. I think we're seeing him start to figure things out a little bit in ways that he can gain advantage with that speed. Still lots of rounding out to do in his game. I'm not positive that he's an everyday in the lineup absolute NHL player yet. We're still learning about him a little bit. But I think he's progressing, and I think there have been some steps since he came back. How about you guys?
I like his speed for sure. It stands out. I'm surprised early before he got injured, I thought he was really starting to come on. We saw him really good on forechecks, and yeah, I haven't seen as much of that since, but last night was definitely his best game, I felt, in a while. And, you know, he did practice today with Nugent Hopkins and Neil, although Jujhar Kara wasn't on the ice. So, you know, maybe that's just a practice change, but we'll see. I think a little bit of extra speed there will be good. And, you know, I still need more from that second line 5-on-5.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that that should be expected, right? And it starts with Nugent Hopkins, who, you know, recently or in the previous, you know, four or five games had been putting up numbers at a better pace. You know, James Neal 5-on-5 is interesting. There's no shortage of work ethic. Like, he's working hard out there. But you can see how he just doesn't have the speed that he used to have, and his ability to close on people and make things happen off the rush just isn't. And we've seen this happen with other skilled players. Now, James Neal has more tools in the toolkit, so, you know, he can do other things, but his ability to attack with any sort of danger off the rush, I just don't see it. And that's a problem for a second-line player, in my opinion.
Talking with Ryan Rashog at TSN Bureau Chief. Let's move over to Calgary. Talk a little bit of Calgary Flames. A lot of interesting kind of, to me, you look at the Flames, you look at the even Tampa Bay, you look at the guys there, and at least we made a change. You know, some of these coaching guys are starting to get a little bit hotter, and even New Jersey with John Hines. You know, today Brad Treveling comes out and talks about, you know, that he hasn't been good enough. He's been horse bleep or whatever. You know, is this kind of out of the old playbook? We defend everyone, then we really take a hard look at what things happen, or do you take him at his word that he's going to let this group kind of figure out, including head coach Bill Peters?
Yeah, I think I'm going to take Treliving at his word. I think that there's a sentiment that Treliving has that caused him to do this, guys. I think Brad Treliving has already fired one coach that, I'm not going to say shouldn't have been fired, but he already fired a coach that, you know, the players, you know, weren't responding to, and where the situation wasn't going the way they wanted it to go. So I don't think he likes the idea of potentially doing that again. Bill Peters has a rougher touch than Glenn Gulletson did. Bill Peters can be stern, can be firm, and he can make things uncomfortable. And I think that Brad Treliving knows in his gut that's the way players need to be able to function to win a playoff series, to win when it matters. That if his team is too fragile to be able to push through whatever kind of coach you put in front of them and be able to play well and win games, that they're not going anywhere anyways. I don't think he's willing to send the message to this group, I'm going to flick another coach out of your way and try and give you another chance with somebody else, that you are the problem. And I think he believes that's an important message to send this group of players that have already blown through a guy.
Yeah, it's interesting. They've been shut out in three straight road games. That's unbelievable, really, when you think about it. And Streds and I watched that game last night, and at times they looked disinterested. I think you bring up a valid point that he doesn't want to axe a coach. But he also came out and said, well, our best players aren't going anywhere either, right? So you... You know, and if they're worried about those best players not again responding to a coach, and I will say this, it was interesting. I think it was Ken Holland who said, hey, I'm a numbers guy, and I don't think the numbers lie. And he was talking about James Neal, right? He scored 20 goals, and he had one bad year. Now he's looking to score 20 goals again. Well, Bill Peters only ever made the playoffs 1 year.
Yeah.
So is that the outlier, right? Because Carolina never made the playoffs with him. He leaves. They make the playoffs. Now, sure, Calgary did, but I wonder how much that plays into it, because the Flames have now lost 5 in a row. And the harsh reality for Tree Living, if that gets to 8 or 9 or 10, I think what he said today almost becomes irrelevant, and he might have to fire the coach, or he's going to have to pull off a big trade. He's going to have to do one of the two things he said today that he wouldn't do.
This is the thing, guys. Like, that whole idea I just talked about, how Trey Living doesn't like the messaging to his team to just blow through another coach and hit the reset button again. So when he did what he did with the last coach, it was really important for him to put the right guy in place. And your question, Greg's, is fair. Is Bill Peters a really good NHL coach or not? And if you look at his history and his numbers, it's totally fair to question that. So the fact is, Trey Living may have selected wrong. He may have picked the wrong guy, but it doesn't change the messaging, if you fire him, that it sends to your top group. So what's more important, trying to put a different coach in place that might be the right guy, or trying to have your players accountable in a way that they need to play at a higher standard regardless of who their coach is? And I think if they keep getting the message that if they're not comfortable, it's okay not to play well, I just don't think he wants to go there with him. Maybe he, in some ways, already has. And I think saying the top players aren't going anywhere is just in direct response to the Johnny Gaudreau stuff that's been happening the last 3 or 4 days.
Schauger, quick prediction. Grey Cup. Who are you taking?
Oh, man. Yeah, interesting, boys. I mean, with what we just saw, out of the Ticats, I have a tough time not picking them. Playmakers, quarterback with all kinds of confidence. I think we got to go Ticats. You guys?
I'm with you, and I have no problem staying Winnipeg. But I just think that the way Hamilton's playing and all the pieces, all the playmakers they have, I think it's gonna be hard to beat.
And that's fair. But you can't. You knew you couldn't pick Winnipeg. They're your biggest rival as a Rider fan. Hey, so I understand.
Don't tell people my secrets. Hey? Like that's.
But I will.
How do you end up a Rider fan? How does that happen?
Oh, my whole family, all my family's from there, both sides. We used to go to games. There was a point where I probably went to more Rough Rider games than Eskimo games growing up. And I lived in Edmonton.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm taking the Bombers a little bit of an upset. I think their defense is very, very good. So, plus, I don't know, I've always got a soft spot for the Bombers. They haven't won in like 30 years, so I'll give it to them. Yeah. Have a good weekend, Schauger. We'll talk to you Monday.
Yeah, guys, have a great weekend and enjoy.